What will Unit 5 enrollment look like in the fall, as families who opted to homeschool or go private during the pandemic make their decisions?
So I do expect many of those families, if not all those families, to come back.
That's Superintendent Kristen Weichel. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Tuesday, April 20th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with Unit 5 District expecting higher enrollment next school year. Charlie Schlenker has more.
The superintendent of Unit 5 School says the pandemic has likely changed enrollment patterns for the fall. Kristen Weichel says enrollment was lower than usual last year.
We know that we had some families who maybe opted to homeschool or go to, you know, a private school that was open 5 days a week beginning at the school year in August. So I do expect many of those families, if not all those families, to come back.
Weichel says there may also be a shift in at least one grade size because of the pandemic.
We'll probably have a larger kindergarten class enrolling, just because I think some parents who maybe had students kindergarten age eligible this year decided just to not enroll their students in school and, you know, wait till next school year.
The superintendent also says there's uncertainty because there's movement around the community.
You know, the housing market is kind of on fire right now in the area, so I think, you know, there's a good chance that we'll have kids maybe move from one Unit 5 school to another.
And Weichel says Unit 5 is keeping an eye on the potential effect on enrollment of hiring at Rivian. Enrollment is ongoing, but fees are due in the summer. Unit 5 is also planning a summer enrichment program for students that have lost the most academic ground or who are behind for other reasons than the pandemic. That's 300 high schoolers, 100 junior high, and about 370 pre-K through grade 5. That group of nearly 800 who are 1 to 2 grade levels below where they should be in learning is about 6% of the student body. It also includes some special ed students and some who need additional social-emotional support apart from academic support. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. McLean County added 212 new COVID-19 cases over the weekend. That's the highest weekend case count reported since mid-January. About 26% of the population is now considered fully vaccinated. The Bloomington City Council voted 6-3 to censure member Jen Carrillo for her post-election comments. Voting against the censure were Carrillo, Jeff Crable, and Julie Emig. Mid-Central Community Action's Executive Director Deb White has died. She was with the agency for over 20 years, starting her career building its Countering Domestic Violence program. And a freeze warning will kick in early tomorrow morning till about 9, with temperatures as low as 27 degrees expected. Frost and freeze conditions could kill crops and other sensitive vegetation. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Students of color in urban settings receive fewer educational resources to help them learn. That's according to Illinois State University researchers. Student reporter Darnisha Mitchell has more on the effects of those conditions and how to counter that harm.
The pandemic has helped spotlight education inequities in this country, but research conducted by a group of ISU scholars on under-resourced and underserved schools show this is a long-awaited conversation. Education professor Shemaine Bertrand says schools with mostly students of color, particularly Black students in lower-income areas, have less of most things. School supplies, modern textbooks, quality facilities, and so on, than their counterparts in less diverse and higher-income areas. Bertrand says structural inequities create learning issues.
Do you learn if you don't have all of the resources? And we always hear the language of achievement gaps, or there is Black students or Latinx students don't perform as well as their white peers, but we never really take time out to tease things out, the resources that are given to certain students as opposed to others.
Bertrand says ignoring the lack of investment in schools serving students of color prolongs the detrimental effects it has on those students. She says students who feel undervalued because of crumbling infrastructure suffer an emotional toll.
They really do play a part in the experience that students have in their classroom. classroom and whether or not they feel like they can continue. If I'm not financially stable at home and I don't have certain resources at home, and then I come into a school and I don't have resources there, why do I need to be here?
Bertrand and ISU scholar Aaron Quast put together an equity and diversity cohort in Decatur Public Schools a few years ago. It places teaching candidates from the Chicago suburbs and rural areas in urban schools to show them how students are learning with limited resources. Quast says the teaching candidates are stunned by the conditions students face.
We have students that, once they get over the initial, this is different, are very upset that this is the first time in their lives that they have to think about people outside of them.
Quast says the program helps dispel harmful stereotypes and biases about students and families with financial hardships. She says it helps teaching candidates understand no one style of teaching is helpful in inequitable systems.
Listening to the people that we serve as educators to find out, you know, really how we can make sure that families and individuals are successful and that we remove the barriers that are in front of them and give them the opportunities to succeed.
Quast says more programs like the Equity and Diversity Cohort would better prepare educators to understand inequities in education, improve teaching strategies, and advocate for underserved students. I'm Darnisha Mitchell.
Before we let you go, the McLean County Board's Executive Committee meets today at 4:30 for the first in a series of meetings on the redistricting process. Also meeting today at 5:30 is the Bloomington Public Libraries Board. On the agenda there is discussion about the library's expansion plan and fundraising for it. Also, a reminder that tomorrow is the end of WGLT's Spring Fun Drive. So if you're the procrastinating type, this is the moment you've been waiting for, the last minute. You're listening to this right now, so I know that you care about local journalism. It matters to you because when we're all working with a common set of facts, the community can make better decisions. I've worked in all sorts of parts of this business, commercial radio, a newspaper, and now nonprofit public media. And let me tell you, folks, this is the only model that works. No shareholders, no quarterly earnings, no hedge funds, and more importantly, there's no pressure to do clickbait stories for page views or to fill your head with more noise. That's the freedom of nonprofit news, and it's what I mean when I say it's the only model that works. And it works because of you. More than half of our budget comes from individuals and businesses in the community. So here, in the last 2 days of this spring fund drive, prove me right. Lead off your day by making a contribution at WGLT.org. Okay, seriously, that is it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.